Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-Day Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains June 6th through the 9th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Queers, happiest pride to all of the gays, the girls, the theys. Oh, remember, eating pussy cures depression. Happy Pride Month, everybody. Welcome to Confidently Insecure, the podcast where we're absolutely sure we don't know everything. I am your host, Kelsey Dara, noted bisexual. Pansexual if you're under 29. Hey, happy Pride Month. I just got back from WeHo West Hollywood Pride Parade. Oh my God, it was such a hoot and a half. You know, I feel like this was the most chill Pride I've been to. Like, it was, everyone's just respectable, safe, nice. Like, yes, there are balls, there's titties, there's butts, there's so many things hanging out, and everyone's just like doing their own thing. No one's worried about, no, everyone's worried about the damn selves, having a good time, clickety clack clack clacking them fans. We brought Hippo. It was a hoot. I will say, bringing a dog in a stroller to Pride is the move, because everyone parts the sea like I am Jeebus herself. Like, they get all the way out of the way to let little Hippo, dressed up in rainbow clothes, come through. Little hack I learned this year. Haha. Hey, I'm tired. Yep, I am tired. Not because of Pride. No. My sleep score from my Oura Ring today out of 100 was 24. I've never been below like a 60 in my life. And it's not because I'm out there being a crazy queer, doing all sorts of wild and late night kooky activities. I think my cat's got dementia. My damn cat is acting a freaking fool for the last like week, every night. Now, granted, Leonidas is, you know, getting up there. He's in his 15s. And when we moved, like, he hasn't been weird at all since moving to this new place. Yet, for some reason, in this new place, I don't know if it's because, like, I genuinely can't find a reason, because nothing is too dissimilar from the old place in terms of, like, routine, house layout, his ability to access my room, etc. But this motherfucker be howling every night like he wants to get in the room, which he's never slept with me his whole life. So finally, I decided to let him in the room, and then he's silent. But then when the door's open, now Larry, his brother, starts meowing and howling. Like, I can't figure it out. He seems perfectly healthy. I don't know if it's just he wants attention. I mean, his food is on an automatic feeder, so I don't think he's doing it because he's hungry. Like, I don't know what he thinks I can do for him. It's all very concerning, mostly because I'm tired. So if you've ever had this happen with your kitty cat, drop me a comment. That's pretty much all my housekeeping. But hey, it's Pride Month. So of course, you know, I had to bring it back with one of our favorite Confidently Pod segments. That is Hoes Throughout History. There's some hoes in this house. There's some hoes in this house. And you know that I had to hit us with a queer tale. Now, I'm actually really excited about this one, because in all my days, I don't know how I hadn't heard of this icon. And while I am going to go ahead and put her down in the history books as like a gender bending queer icon, there isn't any historical factual proof that this person was queer, but the queers have embraced her and said, she is one of us, we are one of her, cuckoo ca-choo. I am talking about Dr. Mary Walker. That's right. This week's hoe is a doctor. Because we can all be hoes, right? Okay. So, where do I begin? Let me get my notes out. In honor of Pride Month, you know, we're throwing our glitter and gratitude towards someone you definitely didn't hear about in AP history, because I know I sure didn't. Dr. Mary Edwards Walker. That's doctor. Thank you very much. And no, she's not the person who invented the brassiere. She's the only woman in U.S. history to receive the Medal of Honor. And she did it all while wearing the pants. Getting arrested for gender nonconformity and being such a feminist that even the suffrage movement was like, she's a little much, you know? Let's get into it, okay? Let's see. Let's start at the beginning, where we always do. Mary Edwards Walker was born on November 26, 1832 in Oswego. I hope I'm saying that right. I know I'm not. New York, to parents Alva and Vesta Walker. Devoted Christians and, emphasis on the and, free-spirited free thinkers. Okay? Which in like 1800s America, that was like being, you know, like pro-science and like a little bit spiritual witchy, right? Like the Walkers raised their daughters and son equally. Same chores, same education, same encouragement to challenge gender norms, to break the rules. Like this back in that day was so unheard of for this family to be so progressive. Little Mary had a little lamb, worked on the family farm in pants as a child because, that was the best material to be working in. You know, little Mary was like, don't give me one of them corsets and none of them skirts. They're just not giving at this age. And her mom, who again, back in the day, any other mother would be like, no, you must work on the farm in your little milkmaid pants and your dressies. But her mom was fully like, yeah, no, I understand that that shit is very uncomfortable. You can wear whatever the fuck you want on the farm as long as you keep getting your chores done. So when the local schools weren't cutting it for the Walker's children, her parents decided just to found their own. Which I love. Like, I imagine them, these, like, hippies in the woods who are like, yes, 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 we believe in God. Yes, we believe in standard Christianity and beliefs. But if you come into our weird woods school, we'll teach you how to, like, defy the norms and break down patriarchy. So they were like, the problem is regular schools won't teach our daughters the same things that they're teaching our sons. So we're just going to start the first ever free schoolhouse in our town. Okay. And we're going to like DIY feminism ourselves. Mary later attended Valley Seminary, a rare school for women that emphasized social reform, which is basically just code for like lesbians and radicals, I'm sure. There she studied education, hygiene, and gender roles. And of course, with that education, she started to just get hornier for justice every single day. Okay. Her dad's medical books were her guilty pleasure. She would read them for funsies in her spare time. And by the time she hit her early 20s, she knew she wanted to be a doctor. And she credits her access to these books that taught about anatomy and the body very early on was a big reason why. So in 1855, Mary graduated from Syracuse Medical College. Ever heard of it? Okay. And she was one of the first women in the U.S. to receive a medical degree. Huh. She was just shy of 23, too. And you have to imagine, just shy of 23. Two, and you're already a doctor. Back then, patriarchy quaking. Later that year, now here's where things get a little funny. She did marry a fellow student named Albert Miller, but did it her way. She wore trousers under a skirt, a man's coat. She kept her last name, again, freaking unheard of, and cut the word obey from her vows. Like, tell me you're a beard without telling me you're a beard. Together, they set up a joint medical practice in Rome, New York, which didn't know there was one of those. Also, I'm going to Rome tomorrow, or 2 days from now. I'm very excited. Unfortunately, imagine this. Nobody wanted to be treated by a lady doctor in trousers, which is crazy. You had to imagine people were like, oh, she's not a nurse in her like little dress and cap. I don't want her medically assessing me. That's not right. That's not what I'm used to, and I don't like it. And so the practice failed, unfortunately, because, well, when you're the doctor and people don't want to see you, that's bad for business. So the practice failed, and whoopsie daisies, Albert also happened to cheat on her, which is really just like a fuck you, just like a double kick in the nuts, like, our business that we opened together, which you probably married as a beard anyway, and we're like doing me a huge favor. I'm also going to now like publicly cheat on you. So suck it. So she was really like, fuck you, I'm out, right? And they divorced, which again, for the time, a very rare, okay? Now here's the kicker too. Mary never remarried, but she did have a roommate. We'll just say that. We'll get to that part, okay? She lived with a younger feminist named Belva Lockwood for a while after the divorce. She was actually with Belva as roommates longer than she was married. So I've seen enough period dramas to know how this was going. You know what I'm saying? Make of that what you will. So now we go into the Civil War, okay? So when the Civil War broke out in 1861, Dr. Walker was freaking ready, right? She was like, I've been waiting for this. This is my freaking time to shine. She wanted to serve as a doctor, obviously, because she had her freaking medical degree. Not a nurse, okay? Because she was way too overqualified. She wasn't about to go in there and be like taking temperatures and cleaning bedpans when she wants to be doing freaking surgeries. And the army was like, well, we don't let women do surgeries. Sorry. And she was like, really? Really? All right. Bet. Bet, watch this. I ain't going to be a fucking surgeon for the army. I'm instead going to go volunteer my services for free, where it will be appreciated, at the U.S. Patent Office Hospital in D.C. And was in the thick of it, okay? Working on wounded soldiers at the first Battle of the Bull Run, which I don't know exactly what that is, but I do remember reading about it in history, and I think it was important. She was also at Fredericksburg, Chattanooga. Ever heard of them? Bet you have. Bet you freaking have. That's where the front lines were. That's where the big stuff was. That's where the scary, crazy war things were happening. And she also decided to organize the Women's Relief Organization to help families of the wounded. And it just blows my mind to think, like, I don't know what else she's got to prove to say, like, that I'm qualified. Like, I'm in the front lines of the biggest battles. I'm literally doing surgery for free at the hospitals. Like, come on. And I'm going to set up these funds to help families of the wounded. Like, I don't know. She just had clearly, like, a purpose and a mission and a good heart. Because I would be way too salty. I would be like, oh, does it hurt here? And just, like, straight up poke someone in the stitches. And that's why I'm not a doctor. So she treated wounded soldiers at field hospitals all across Virginia. And by 1863, the War Department finally was like, fine, we'll give you an official position. So that was 2 years of her working for free. If I did that, I would be broke. I would be so freaking broke. Oh my God. But they were finally like, fine, we'll give you a paid position equivalent to like a lieutenant or captain or whatever. Just like, don't tell anyone. So now it's like, yeah, baby, she's getting paid. All right. This woman literally worked herself from unpaid volunteer to a war surgeon. All right. She also made headlines by, whoopsies, outing Francis Hook, a woman soldier disguised as a man. Okay. She accidentally was like, this is actually a woman pretending to be a man as a soldier. And Mary was like, don't worry, fear not. This isn't a bad thing. You're doing the right thing. We'll be out here breaking rules together, honey. Okay. It's like, you got to carry this burden on your own. And I don't know if that was a really feminist move of her. I mean, I don't know if other people were just like finding out about Frances Hook on her own. And she was like, no, 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 come under my wing. I'll take whatever. She also, during this time, had once wrote to the War Department offering her services to be a spy. And they said no. And Mary was like, okay, you probably didn't want me to be a spy because I'd just be too good at it. But other people were like, nah, it's because she was a woman and she's a little bit too loud about it. She's a little bit messy. So no spy for you, girl. Oh, but things get crazy and twisted for Dr. Mary Walker. And I'm going to tell you more about it right when we come back from this gay little break.
Confidants, have you ever just felt like a little off, not totally like yourself? Maybe you're feeling a little bit tie-tie. I know I have been going through a lot of stress recently, and I've learned that it's maybe not sometimes just stress or, you know, lack of sleep. It could be hormones at play. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. I actually took the quiz and it suggested that my body might be overloaded with the hormone estrogen, which could be affecting me in all different kinds of ways. And I got to start taking Hormone Harmony, which has helped with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, and so much more. Taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now. It's about investing in your long-term health. And if you take this quiz, you're going to learn a lot more about your hormone balance and can make these small, intentional changes. We love that, confidants. And Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, which we support and love here. And that means only using science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows, baby. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code Kelsey at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code Kelsey for 15% off today.
We're shipping Father's Day gifts with a rapid-fire round of questions. Ready?
Yes, my gift. Can you pack it?
Yep.
Ship it?
Yes.
Guarantee it?
Of course.
Oh, send a set of golf clubs.
Oh, hole in one.
Protect electronics? Dogproof it? Return it if they hate it?
Yes, no, and yeah.
Are you the UPS store?
Hey, we have a winner!
Woo!
Visit theupsstore.com/guarantee for full details. Most locations are independently owned. Products, services, prices, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. The UPS Store. Visit a store today.
Okay. In April 1864, Dr. Walker was captured. That's right. We're talking POW status now. She was captured by Confederate troops right after performing an amputation with a Confederate doctor. Like, how much of a dick do you have to be in the Confederacy to be like, okay, this woman, she helped. She's ours now. Yep, we're taking her. Bounty. Yeah, we're going to just put a price on her head. She's ours now. We found these keepsies. No takesies, backsies. So the thing about these Confederate ding-dongs was that they arrested her and were like, yeah, you're a prisoner, even though you were just helping us. But also, we think you are a spy, actually. She was like, no, I'm not. I literally tried. And they said no. And they were like, that's exactly what a spy would say. And she's like, I don't think you guys get it. And they were like, fear not, we still think you are a spy, so we're going to arrest you and toss you in Castle Thunder, which, how fun does that sound? A prison in Richmond, Virginia, where there she refused to wear women's clothes, again, because they were, as she said, unbecoming, which is hilarious. I love that they were like, you're a prisoner, and part of your sentencing is you are going to have to finally wear women's clothes. And she was like, I absolutely will not. I will go with you to your little Castle Rock prison over there in Richmond. I'll go, but I'm not going to wear a fucking dress. Give me pants and a t-shirt, bruh. I'm trying to be comfy up in this prison, which is like very me. So she remained in prison until August 12th, 1864. So that's 4 months POW, and was released in a prisoner swap for Confederate medical officers. So they were like, you got one of ours, we got a couple of yours, we'll swipsy swapsies, we do actually kind of need her back. And the craziest part was all through that time, she was still performing surgery as a prisoner of war. Like, she was still like, put me in, coach, I will help where I can help. Doesn't matter, I have to abide by some code that doctors take, that oath to help people. So I don't care if you're my enemy, I'm still going to help you survive. And after her release, you would think she'd be like, I did my time. I did my duty, right? This country that doesn't appreciate me, that I had to work for free. I'm tired. They tried to get me in a dress. Like, I'm done, right? Nope. Not a girl, Mary. She went back to work as a medical director of a hospital for a women's prison in Kentucky. Now, I'm not going to say that's fucking gay, but that's pretty fucking gay. Like, you were like, I can go do anything. I can go work anywhere. I've been a prisoner of war. I am like a respected general surgeon. Yeah, put me in the women's prison. That sounds right. Now, maybe I'm just being like, whatever, trying to make it into something. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe she was just like, I would rather be surrounded by women than all these freaking men. But I think she was gay, and I'm standing on that business. I'm not afraid to say it, even though the history books won't. And all throughout the war, she wore what was known as the bloomer costume, right? Like, she was wearing a dress over trousers combo that had long gone out of fashion, but she didn't care. She wore it anyway, because to her, the mobility and comfortability was more important than male approval. So she really was like, I don't give a shit what y'all think. So after the war has ended, Mary decides, I'm going to fully switch to men's clothes completely. So lost the skirt over the pants combo. Remember, that was like when we were doing like the long tank tops over jeans. God, that was a time. Those extra long tank tops. And then we'd put the belt on top. And there was usually like a Hollister moment. Oh, God. R.I.P. those fashion eras. So she's like carrying on about her life. The war's over, remind you. She's wearing her men's clothing all the time. And our girl gets arrested several times for apparently what the cops were saying was impersonating a man. And she's like, I'm not pretending to be a man. I am a woman. I'm just wearing what you desire to be, men's clothing. And they were like, no, you're trying to be a man. If you're in man's clothing, you're trying to be a man, and you're not allowed to do that. So you're going to get arrested. So she got arrested several freaking times. In 1870, in New Orleans, she was mocked by men, and an officer twisted her arm and asked if she had even ever been with a man. So they're like straight up police brutalitying her ass and making fun of her and harassing her and all sorts of things. And they throw her in jail, and the next day she goes into court, and they all recognize her because they're like, oh my God, this is like a very important war surgeon. And she was released immediately. And they were like, that's so embarrassing. We cannot believe we let our people do that to her. That's fucked up. We shouldn't have done that. Bad on you guys. But did they punish the officers? No. No, they didn't. They weren't that woke. They were like, we fucked up. You're released. Care about your business. But just, you got to stop dressing as a man. And she went, well, actually, I actually have explicit permission from the U.S. government that they said I could dress however I want. And they were like, what? And she was like, yep, that happened when you're a big war vet like me. I can, because I got permission from the United States to dress however I want. And they were like, okay, we believe you. We believe you. And she was like, oh my God, I can't believe that worked. So then they stopped bothering her because she was the big bitch in charge. And she was like, now you fucking know who I am. Put some respect in my goddamn names and put some respect in my goddamn pants. So in 1865, President Andrew Johnson awarded her the Medal of Honor. And yes, even though she was technically a civilian because they didn't give her a official military title, even though she was basically what the level of a captain was as a war surgeon, they didn't give her the official title because remember, they hate women. And even to this day, she is still the only woman to ever receive one. That's fucking crazy. But then in 1917, 2 years before her death, this is a little whoopsie doopsie. The army decided we got to clean up this Medal of Honors list. Medal of Honors list. Because it's a little too long and it doesn't really mean much when all these people have it. We got to scale back. We're going to clean up this list, which like hilarious. Hilarious. What if they just decided to do that with like Academy Awards? They're like, yeah, too many people have them. We got to take it back. So they stripped 911 people of the award, including our girl, Dr. Walker. And side note, Buffalo Bill Cody, if anyone cares, he also was stripped of his. But here's the thing. They claimed, well, she shouldn't have one because she's a civilian. So we're just going to take back everyone's. It's not that we're like targeting her specifically. We're just going to take back all civilian Medal of Honors. And this is where our girl raised her little finger and was like, that motherfuckers, not in my house, not in my house today. Because two other male contract surgeons who are also technically ineligible, you guys let them keep theirs. What's that about? Why do they get to keep theirs and I don't get to keep mine? We were literally the same thing. We were both on the same contract. And one of them was literally an army chief of staff. So why did they get to keep theirs? Why? How come they get to keep theirs and I don't get to keep mine? And they were like, ah, yes. Because sexism, I guess. That's, we're just going to tell you right now, it's because of the sexism. But we're going to tell everyone that it's because you're a civilian. And this person's connected because they are a child of a chief of army of staff. So they, nepotism and sexism. That's our excuse. So back before our girl got her medal stripped, let's rewind a little bit. Mary was deeply involved in the suffrage movement. No surprise there, right? And she even tried to vote in 1871 before it was legally written as such that women could vote and was obviously turned away. But here's the kicker. This is where Mary's ideology differed from the suffragettes at the time. Mary believed that women already had the right to vote. And they were just being stripped of that right to vote, that it was covered under the Constitution and the court just needed to enforce it. Like, all people are created equal. They should all have the right to vote. And the suffragettes were like, no, we have to fight for our right to vote. Like, we have to convince them. And she was like, no, bitch, we're all human beings. Like, we already have the right. And the women were like, I don't know. That seems like a little like male of you to just like assume we have these rights. So essentially the movement shifted towards pushing for like a constitutional amendment, which was a strategy that Mary opposed, right? Like her political beliefs and her masculine way of dressing pushed her off a little bit to the sidelines with the suffragettes. She kept attending conventions and handing out pamphlets, but the other feminists ghosted her because they were just like, look, we're trying here, and I feel like you're almost so far to the left on this issue that, you know how they say when you go so far left, you kind of become right? Like, I think she was kind of showing up in her pants. They didn't like that. They were like, look, we still got to look cute. We still got to have, like, a dress code here. You didn't get the memo. It's cool. It's fine. But can you just, like, stand in the back? And Mary was like, fuck you guys. Y'all are the unwoke ones. Y'all don't get my fucking memo. So I'm just going to keep passing my memo out. And they were like, yeah, no, no, no. Just throw those pamphlets away, please. And she was like, I shan't. And during this time, too, this was when all of the talk about like the Medals of Honors were happening. And Mary would wear hers around all the time. She was like, yeah, I'm just going to wear this like as a part. Like it's a little accessory, little accoutrement. And they were like, you're being, it's a little bit much, right? Like you're a little bit too pro war. You're a little too masculine for our beliefs. And she was like, you know what? I am not appreciated here in America. Fuck you bitches. I'm going to England. So she found that she was much more widely accepted in a more progressive place like England than the US, which, you know, shocker. So during that time where she was wearing her Medal of Honor and then Andrew Jackson, no, sorry, who was it? Who was it? Who was it that stripped her of her? Who was it? I don't have it written down. 2 years before her death. Who was the president in 1917? I don't know. Whoever it was stripped her of her medal. And the kicker was, is she was like, fine. You can strip me of it if you want. Take me off your little listy list. But I'm not giving this thing back. You're going to have to come rip it off my cold, dead goddamn body. I'm still going to wear this as a accessory. I've been wearing it every day. I'm going to all my little protests, my little rallies. This is mine. You're going to have to come get it. And they were like, just keep it. Whatever. So Mary basically just like didn't acknowledge their ruling. And she would still tell people like, yes, I have the Medal of Honor, even though they had officially stripped it from her in title. She still had the physical thing. And she was like, I'm going to wear this proudly because I am a veteran and I was there and y'all can't take this from me. So Mary, unfortunately, did pass. Okay. And the timing, just not ideal. She died in 1919, a year before women officially got the right to vote. Her funeral was very plain, no frills. She was, however, buried in a black suit with the American flag over her coffin. So she was like, bitch, I know they fucking did me dirty, but I'm still going to go out as a patriot and I'm still going out in a suit. And shout out to whoever her lesbian partner was at the time who made that happen. But fret not. In 1977, 60 whole years later, President Jimmy Carter officially reinstated her Medal of Honor. Which, like, good for you, President Jimmy Carter. Her legacy also, since she has passed, got its very overdue flowers. She has a Liberty ship named after her in World War II. There was a U.S. postage stamp of her in 1982. Medical facilities, army centers, clinics, statues bear her name. And she was even included in Hillary and Chelsea Clinton's book, The Book of Gutsy. There was also in 2023, so just 2 years ago, Fort A.P. Hill in Virginia was renamed Fort Walker, making her the first woman in U.S. history to have a military base named after her. What a badass. And it sucks that she didn't get to see that happen for all that she gave her country, but still glad that eventually happened. And in 2024, last year, she was featured on a U.S. quarter holding her pocket surgical kit and wearing the Medal of Honor, which just goes to show you, we love to see our girl finally get her credit where her credit was due. Another big part of Mary's legacy, which came after her time in the military, was that she also fought for women's rights to dress however she wanted. And if you look up any pictures of this bad bitch, she is always in a fucking suit and top hat, and she looks bad as hell. Like, she is full baddie power suit, and she's the one who started that. So not only was she a war hero, a fashion criminal, a medical trailblazer, a policy disruptor, and in my official opinion, a big old queer coded icon, She lived on her own terms, got arrested for wearing pants, and refused to turn the Medal of Honor in even when they tried to take it away from her. So in Pride Month, we honor this fantabulous hoe who decided to wear trousers when it wasn't cool, made history, and really, I think, scared the hell out of patriarchy while doing it. So to you, we say cheers, queers, and rest in pants, my girly. Ah, that was a fun one, wasn't it? I like, again, do these segments because I also didn't know about a lot of these bad bitches. So if you want to hear more about hoes throughout history in a queer context, send me a little DM on ConPod. Tell me who I need to hear about, who we need to dissect, who we need to make known. I love telling these stories. They're so fun to research. It doesn't even feel like work. What are you doing for Pride Month, y'all? How are we supporting trans youth? How are we showing up? How are we showing out? Also, you got any cool, fun summer plans? I'm, like I said, heading off to Rome in 2 days. If you have any recommendations for me, throw them in my DMs at Kelsey Dara because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just planning on lollygagging and reading books and eating pasta and like kind of gallivanting. But if you have something that I absolutely cool need to do that like nobody else has ever heard of, very Stefan in the club, shoot me a DM. And while you're here, if you're still listening, rate us 5 stars, won't you? It really helps us get seen. If you're not going to rate it 5 stars, please don't rate it at all because I am sensitive. Hey, we'll see you next week, queers. Bye.